those of you who are visiting with us today, we're in the book of James. For those of you who've been here most every week, we're still in the book of James. So, several weeks ago, started preaching a series through this book. And that series is just called Lessons. Lessons for Practical Christian Living, because James is one of those books that is very practical in its teaching and its application. So today we're in James chapter 3. We're going to be finishing up that chapter. Last week we focused on the first part of the chapter, talking about the tongue, our words, and the power of those words and the effect that those words can have on the lives of so many people, and how we have to be careful about that. But today I want to talk to you about this. James talks to us in these next few verses about wisdom. And I have a message this morning entitled Becoming Wise in the Ways of God. So we're going to be in James chapter 3, verses 13 through 18. And then if you would like to go back and mark it in your Bible, we're also going to be looking at some information from 2 Chronicles chapter 1. So I just want to begin reading with this, James chapter 3, verse 13. It says this, "If you are wise and understand God's ways, prove it by living an honorable life, doing good works with the humility that comes from wisdom. But if you are bitterly jealous and there is selfish ambition in your heart, don't cover up the truth with boasting and lying. For jealousy and selfishness are not God's kind of wisdom. Such things are earthly, unspiritual, and demonic. For wherever there is jealousy and selfish ambition, there you will find disorder and every kind of evil. But the wisdom from above is first of all pure. It is also peace-loving, gentle at all times, and willing to yield to others. It is full of mercy and the fruit of good deeds. It shows no favoritism and is always sincere. And those who are peacemakers will plant seeds of peace and reap a harvest of righteousness." Heavenly Father, I pray that you would just bless the reading and the teaching of your word today in Jesus' name. Amen. So, hey, James is talking to us today about wisdom. He kind of talks to us about how we know if we have or possess wisdom. And then he talks to us about the difference between what I'm calling worldly wisdom and godly wisdom. And before we go any farther, I think it's important that we get kind of a working definition, so to speak, of wisdom. What does that word mean? I want us to kind of be all on the same page as we move forward, because goodness knows, words and their meanings are important. And in this day and age where dictionaries are now changing the meaning of words just on a whim, we need to understand what we're actually talking about. So, according to the Webster's Unabridged Dictionary, wisdom is knowledge and the capacity to make due use of it. Wisdom is knowledge and the capacity to make due use of it. So, what does that tell us? It tells us that knowledge and wisdom are closely related. It tells us that knowledge is actually a part of wisdom, but it doesn't tell us the whole story. Wisdom is much more than that. Let's put it this way. Knowledge is what you know, but wisdom is what we do with what we know. Wisdom is how we put knowledge into practice. Having knowledge alone doesn't necessarily mean we have wisdom. It's kind of like the difference between education or intelligence and common sense, right? I mean, there are people who have a lot of education but very little common sense. And there are people who have a lot of knowledge, but you could pour their wisdom in a thimble and still have room left over. What? These people know what a thimble is. Come on. But here's one thing we need to understand about wisdom. It's a character trait. Wisdom is a character trait that God desires for each and every one of us to have. God wants you to be wise. He wants us to have wisdom. He wants us to know the difference between right and wrong, and he wants us to know the difference between good and better and better and best. So God wants us to have wisdom, and if we want to achieve that, there are some things that we have to do. So what are they? The first one is this. We have to desire wisdom. We have to desire wisdom. We have to want it. It's not going to happen automatically. It's not going to happen accidentally. If we want to achieve wisdom in our lives, then we have to have a desire for it. We have to want it. We have to pursue it, not give up till we find it. Now, there are several scriptures that talk about wisdom, the importance of finding wisdom or desiring and seeking after it. I want to share some of those with you. Proverbs chapter 2, verses 1 through 8. Now, I have them listed there. I didn't print them all out. But if you're one of those people who takes notes and want to be able to go back and read some of this later, here are the references we're going to be looking at. So Proverbs chapter 2, verses 1 through 8 says this, "My child, listen to me and treasure my instructions. Tune your ears to wisdom and concentrate on understanding. Cry out for insight and understanding. Search for them as you would for lost money or hidden treasure. Then you will understand what it means to fear the Lord, and you will gain knowledge of God. For the Lord grants wisdom. From his mouth come knowledge and understanding. He grants a treasure of good sense to the godly. He is their shield, protecting those who walk with integrity. He guards the path of justice and protects those who are faithful to him." He says to cry out for insight and understanding. Search for wisdom as you would for lost money or hidden treasure. Have you ever lost money? I mean, have you ever had that $10 bill in your pocket or in your wallet and all of a sudden you can't find it anymore? What do? You keep looking for it. I'm the kind of guy that once I realize something is lost, and it doesn't matter really whether it's real valuable or not, it just kind of starts bugging me that it's lost and I can't find it. So I'm kind of one of those guys that has to look until I find it. I mean, there was an instance. When we first moved to West Plains, Missouri, clear back like 20 years ago, and it was our first senior pastorate position. It was a really small church. There were like 15 people there when we got there, and we had a parsonage there, and it had a garage and had a garage door opener, you know, the little remote thing. And I lost the remote. I looked all over, and I couldn't find it because you know what? I'm a young pastor. It's my very first senior pastor. We'd left the youth ministry and gone to be senior pastors for the very first time. And I couldn't find that remote. And you know what? All I could think of in my mind was, man, they're going to fire me. Or they're going to think I'm an idiot because here the new pastor loses this. I mean, it could have been easily replaced, but you know what? I searched and I finally found it at the church. For whatever reason, I had taken it to the church with me. I finally found it. He says, seek after wisdom as you would for lost money or hidden treasure. I think he's trying to tell us that it's pretty important to desire or pursue wisdom. Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 through 8 says, trust in the Lord with all your heart and do not depend on your own understanding. Seek his will in all you do and he will direct your path. Now listen, this is the New Living Translation, so listen how it says this. Don't be impressed with your own wisdom. Don't be impressed with your own wisdom. Instead, fear the Lord and turn your back on evil. Then you will gain renewed health and vitality. Man, there's a line in the Facebook sermon that's going on right now that I kind of had to chuckle over when it said, don't be impressed with your own. Have you ever seen those people that are so impressed with their own wisdom, with themselves, and they think everybody else should be too? And it's like kind of like get over yourself because most of the rest of us already have. Yeah, I know, and I'm going to tell you the same thing I told Faith. I know I preached about the tongue last week, so this is my confession time, Lord. I'm sorry, but anyway. Fear the Lord, turn your back on evil. Listen to this next line. You will gain renewed health and vitality. Health and vitality are somehow related to wisdom and desiring wisdom and desiring the better things of God. I've never seen that translation before until now, but I thought it was pretty good. Proverbs 3, 13 through 19, happy is the person who finds wisdom and gains understanding. For the profit of wisdom is better than silver. Her wages are better than gold. Wisdom is more precious than rubies, and nothing you desire can compare with her. Think about the thing that you most desire in life, or maybe that you have most desired in life in the past. And then read this verse. Nothing you desire can compare with achieving wisdom. She offers you life in her right hand and honor in her left. She will guide you down delightful paths. All her ways are satisfying. Wisdom is a tree of life to those who embrace her. And happy are those who hold her tightly. By wisdom, the Lord founded the earth. Wow. And by understanding, he established the heavens. And then Proverbs 4. My children, listen to me. Listen to your father's instruction. Pay attention and grow wise, for I am giving you good guidance. Don't turn away from my teaching. For I too was once my father's son, tenderly loved by my mother as an only child. My father told me, take my words to heart. Follow my instructions and you will live. Learn to be wise and develop good judgment. Don't forget or turn away from my words. Don't turn your back on wisdom, for she will protect you. Love her and she will guard you. Getting wisdom is the most important thing you can do. Whatever else you do, get good judgment. If you prize wisdom, she will exalt you. Embrace her. She will honor you. She will place a lovely wreath on your head and she will present you with a beautiful crown. And then 2 Chronicles chapter 1, verse 10. We're going to get into this a little bit more later, but I just want to listen to this. Here's Solomon's prayer to God. Give me wisdom and knowledge to rule your people properly, for who is able to govern this great nation of yours? We have to desire wisdom. And I think it's pretty obvious from Scripture, all the places that it's mentioned, that we need to pursue that. Here's the second thing we have to do. We need to display wisdom. Once we desire wisdom, if we want to live a life of wisdom, we have to display it. We have to demonstrate it in our own lives. And the first way we display wisdom is by realizing that we need more wisdom, that we never have enough. And Solomon gives us an incredible example of displaying wisdom. His story is found in 2 Chronicles chapter 1. Now, Solomon is the son of David, and he's just been appointed the new king to take his father's place on the throne. And I want to show us three things quickly that he did that displayed wisdom. He called a prayer meeting before he called a board meeting. In 2 Chronicles chapter 1, verses 2 and 3, it says this: he called together all of Israel, the generals and the captains of the army, the judges and all the political and clan leaders. And then Solomon led the entire assembly to the hill at Gibeon where God's tabernacle was located. This was the tabernacle that Moses, the Lord's servant, had constructed in the wilderness. And then in verse 5 it says, but the bronze altar made by Bezalel, the son of Uri, and the grandson of Hur, was still at Gibeon in front of the tabernacle of the Lord. So Solomon and all the people gathered in front of it to consult the Lord. He gathered them all together. He got all the leaders. He got all the people together, and the first thing they did was went to the altar that was at the tabernacle, and it says they met there to consult with the Lord. This is his first act as a king, was to get all the leaders together and pray. But it wasn't just him praying. It says all the others gathered there too. You know what? This tells me he asked for God's direction before asking for the ideas of the finance committee or the trustees committee or the stewardship committee or the missions committee. He asked God's guidance before he asked for guidance and instruction from people. Now listen, committees aren't bad. Board meetings aren't bad. Goodness, we're having one this afternoon. But you know what we do before all those board meetings? Before we do any business, before we make any decisions, we pray and we ask for God's direction and we ask for God's wisdom, we ask for his instruction, because we're doing business that affects the life and the effectiveness of our church. Here's the second thing he did. He asked for what was needed instead of what was convenient. There are a couple of verses that show us this. In verse 7, listen to this. God asked Solomon, what do you want? What do you want? Tell me and I'll give it to you. See, it would have been more convenient maybe for Solomon to ask for wealth. Maybe it would have been more convenient to ask for fame or honor. Maybe it would have been more convenient to ask for protection. But Solomon realized and admitted that what he really needed was wisdom. I think I remember James saying something about that very early on in this series. James chapter 1, verse 5 says that if we lack wisdom, we should what? We should ask God, and he will give it liberally without showing favoritism or partiality. And that's exactly what Solomon does here. He asked for wisdom. And can I just share something with you? Not really in my notes, but as I was reading the scripture, I kind of thought maybe it'd be good to bring it out. He says, give me wisdom and knowledge to lead your people properly, because who could possibly govern this great people of yours? And then in verse 11, God said to Solomon, because your greatest desire is to help your people, and you did not ask for wealth or riches or fame or even the death of your enemies or a long life, but rather asked for wisdom and knowledge to properly govern my people, I will certainly give you the wisdom and knowledge you requested, but I will also give you wealth and riches and fame such as no other king has had before you or will ever have in the future. When we ask for what we truly need in order to help other people, God blesses us in other ways. You remember Matthew 6:33? Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all the other things that you need are going to be given to you as well. He asked for what was needed instead of what was convenient. Then he went to the altar before he went to the throne. In verse 6, we find this. He says, there in front of the tabernacle, Solomon went up to the bronze altar in the Lord's presence and sacrificed 1,000 burnt offerings on it. I wonder how long that took. I mean, he's the new king, right? He's the brand new king. Can't you just imagine how excited he must be to go to his throne and start his new reign as king? But before he does that, he offers 1,000 burnt offering sacrifices on the altar. God answered his prayer. After his time at the altar, he went to the throne. In verse 13, it says, Solomon returned to Jerusalem from the tabernacle at the hill of Gibeon, and he reigned over Israel. But he did not do that. He didn't even start ruling over the people until he had gone to the altar to pray. So back to our text in James chapter 3, verse 13, James tells us how we display wisdom. He says, if you're wise and understand God's ways, live a life of steady goodness and do only good deeds so that only good deeds will pour forth. And if you don't brag about the good you do, then you will be truly wise. So James has just tied together some things for us. He basically says that our works that we talked about in James chapter 2 and our words that we talked about last week in the first part of chapter 3, those two things working together can demonstrate or display our wisdom. What we know, what we say, what we do shows whether we're wise or not. And so it brings us to the final thing we need to do if we want to be wise. We need to learn to discern between the types of wisdom. James tells us there are two kinds, worldly and godly. So which kind do we have? What kind do we desire? James describes worldly wisdom as being bitter and envious. This kind of wisdom can be identified by ambitions and desires that are self-centered. Worldly wisdom is marked by pride or jealousy. And it's described as earthly, unspiritual, and demonic. Do we see? Can we see that going on around us anywhere? Can we see that kind of wisdom being pursued and sought after and even demonstrated? Anytime we see someone kind of looking out for number one, that's pretty much worldly wisdom. It's a worldly approach to life. But then he describes what godly wisdom looks like. He says it's pure, it's peace-loving, gentle at all times, willing to yield to others, full of mercy and good deeds, impartial and always sincere. The complete opposite of worldly wisdom, willing to yield to others. That means I'm not putting myself first. It means I'm putting other people first. And then he goes on to say, those who are peacemakers will plant seeds of peace and reap a harvest of righteousness. Worldly wisdom, godly wisdom. Which one do we want to be known for? I can't answer that question for you. But I'd much rather seek after and find and display godly wisdom. Let me share one more scripture with you. It's 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 18 and 19. It says this, stop fooling yourselves. If you think you are wise by this world's standards, you will have to become a fool so you can become wise by God's standards. The wisdom of the world is foolishness to God. The wisdom of the world is foolishness to God. So he tells us to seek after it. And I don't know about you, but I want to be a person that has a desire for godly wisdom. I want to be a person that has a passion and a pursuit for godly wisdom. I want to be a person that displays that shows that in my life. And I want to be a person who can show those around me the difference between the wisdom of the world and the wisdom that comes from God. And part of that, a big part of that, is our words and our actions and how we live out our lives. My prayer is this, that God would help all of us to have that same heart and mind, that we would desire to show godly wisdom to those around us so that we can honor God in all we do and everything we say. I want to take just a moment. Think about some of those words, and then I kind of want to give us some instructions. I think I did okay. I was told earlier that this fellowship hall was starting to smell really good, and a preacher probably better not preach very long because people might get impatient. So we're gonna dismiss here in a minute and go into the fellowship hall. Once they let us know that everything's ready, we'll say a prayer and bless the food and have some words of recognition and stuff there as well. But I just want to say it's great to see everybody. It's good to have you here today. Thank you for coming. And when we leave this place, let's just go right back here to the fellowship hall and enjoy some time together. So let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we just thank you today. Thank you for your many blessings to us. Thank you for your word, and I just pray that you would help us now to apply that in whatever way is fitting for each and every one of us. Lord, I pray that you would bless our time of fellowship together. I thank you for Merle and Edna and for their lives and for their family members who are here today and for the event that they're celebrating and that we're celebrating with them. 70 years of marriage, and we thank you, God, for that blessing and the legacy that has come out of that. So, Father, I just pray you would bless us as we leave here, bless our time of fellowship, and help us to have a great day in your presence. We ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen. Hey, God bless you. We're dismissed.